So let's look at Bhagavad Gita. Yesterday we started with Bhagavad Gita, the verse. What was that verse? Rasoham apsu kaundeya, verse 8. Rasoham apsu kaundeya prabhasmi shashi suryayoho pranava sarva vedeshu shabdhage pavrusham murushu. Okay. Now, here, in the last verse, Krishna said something, isn't it? Something very important. What is that? Matta paradaram nanyad kinjidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam prodam sutre manigana yuva. That was the last verse, isn't it? Yeah. No. Yeah, that was the last verse. Matta paradaram nanyad, isn't it? Kinjidasti dhananjaya mai sarvam idam prodam sutre manigana yuva. What was that verse? It's a very important verse in that chapter. That particular verse is a very important chapter. Krishna is saying to us that Arjuna understand this thing. Matta paradaram na anyal kinjidasti dhananjaya. Dhananjaya, addressing Arjuna as Dhananjaya, because Arjuna has this great record in acquiring wealth. For Rajasuyam sacrifice and many other instances, Arjuna was responsible for acquiring the wealth for that. And in a subtle level, we are also told something through that. That our interest in this world is to acquire wealth. Why? We find wealth is a shelter. Isn't it? Everybody is working in this world for wealth. Why? Wealth is a shelter. It gives us happiness and freedom from this fear of material existence, that you feel some shelter there. Krishna is saying there that when the same shelter what you are feeling in the wealth, when you start feeling that shelter in the soul or in Krishna, then only you will come to spiritual life. You will work enthusiastically in the spiritual life. At the moment, all the attention is in the money, in the protection what we feel from the wealth. And that is why Krishna is saying there, Matta paradaram na anyal kinchidasti dhananjaya. Kinchidasti dhananjaya. It says here that the only if you start realizing this, that my genuine self-interest is in self-realization. When I have come to that point, only then I will work with the same enthusiasm what I have now, or the bhakti I have now towards the money, it will shift towards Krishna. Bhakti is there in everyone. Bhakti means what? Bhakti means this devotion inside to reach that goal, acquire that thing what we want in life. Why do we have devotion to money? Because we feel that money is going to give us some security in life and some happiness in life. But when this misunderstanding leaves us and we realize that money cannot offer the security and the happiness what we thought it has. Rather, the happiness and security from the soul, self-realization, overrides money. Only then you will become serious about spiritual life. This is the fact. Krishna knows that. That's why he's saying like that. Matta paradaram nanyad kinjidasti dhananjaya. Why? Mai sarvam idam prodam sutre manigana yuva. Because all that is in this creation, paraprakriti, avraprakriti, everything in everywhere, in everyone, there is one thread which is going through everybody. Sutram, that means the thread, manigana yuva, which goes through everyone is me. Krishna says, it's me. So, this is a very deep words in the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna put it in a very poetical way. Sutra manigana yuva. It's very nice. The way it is said, I am the thread in everyone. What does it mean? This is what you should think about it. What does this actually mean? Sutrayam Anigana Iva, Krishna is saying, my Sarvamidam Prodam, in everything in this creation, in all the living entities, whether it is human body, animal body, bird's body, beast body, it doesn't matter what, whichever it is, in everywhere, I am there as a thread to linking everybody together. I am that link which is linking everyone together. Isn't it? Sutrayam Anigana Iva, which means the soul. If it is like that, can I break away from that and go independently? That's not possible. Because that thread is too strong. That thread which is binding all of us in this creation. And the power of the thread is such that it is linking everyone in this creation together. And Krishna is saying, if you have touched that thread, you have touched the garland. It's a nice way of putting it. Because it is the thread that is going through everything. Every pearl in the thread. Isn't it? It's the thread that is going through. If you have touched the thread, you have touched everything. Because the thread is going through everyone. In other words, self-realization means seeing Krishna in everyone. This is that thread all talking about. That if we don't realize that it is Krishna who is present in everyone, in every living entity, such an important thing. Bhagavatam continuously repeats this point. We don't take notice of it. That's another thing. But the important factor is this. If we don't realize it, that Krishna is present in all living entities, and naturally it brings a responsibility on us, isn't it? What is that? If Krishna is present in another living entity, is it proper to deal with another person in a wrong way? Is it not necessary to respect that Krishna's presence in another living entity? That is why you remember when Uddhava asked this question to Krishna, and Krishna gave all these options of Jnana Margam, Yoga Margam, Karma Margam, everything, Karma Margam, Bhakti Margam, everything he said, spoke to Uddhava. And Uddhava said, it is very difficult, all these things what you have spoken. At that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, it is like this. If you can't do anything about it, he says, praname dandavad bhumam ashvachandala gogharam, that just fall down in front of everyone, everybody, pay your respects to him. Doesn't matter. And he never said only in front of other human body, front of the dog, in front of the horses, in front of the donkey, in front of the dog eater, go karam, asses, everyone. You can imagine that state of consciousness of a person when he has reached that state. That seeing Krishna in all other living entities, which is a very, very higher state of realization. Because that means you have touched the thread, in other words. You have already touched the thread. That's why it is like that. And that is perfection of realization of spiritual life. When one has come to that stage, then all the other things in this world doesn't matter. It does not have any more effect on that person anymore, because he has gone out of all these things. What we have created in the society in the name of society's rules and society's regulations, that's all finishes at a particular point. But for a devotee or a jnani who has reached that stage of self-realization, he is situated in a way that he is in touch with that thread all the time. To say that, Krishna spoke this in a particular way. So, after saying that, you will see there that the aham tesham, there's a statement there, that manushyanam madhye sahasreshu, Matta Paradharam Nanyat Kinjid Asti Dhananya. It says here that Matta Parameshwarat Paradharam Anyad Karanam Dharam Kinchit Nasti Na Vidyade. It says that Sarvani Bhudani Yasmad Evam Tasmad Mai Parameshwari Sarvani Bhudani. Tasmad, therefore, Mai, seeing me, Parameshwara, Supreme Personality, Krishna, Sarvani Bhudani, in all living entities, Sarvam idam jagat protam, that this whole creation is made of Krishna. Whole creation is made of Krishna. Anusyudam, anugadam, anuvidam, grahidam. Continuously it's only Krishna is present here. Nothing else is present here. Only Krishna is present. Only difference is in different names and different forms. Krishna is present here. Anugadam anividam grahidam ityartaha dirgadandushu padavat sutrecha manigana iva. Dirgadandeshu padavat. In other words, just like the cloth, there is only thread. Thread makes a cloth, isn't it? If you take the threads away, there is no cloth. Similarly, if you take Krishna away from this creation, Krishna is that thread. If you take Krishna away from this thread, there is no world after that. There is no world existing after that. That's the important point. So, after saying this, one after the other, Krishna takes individual things in this world and trying to tell us how Krishna is present in that. First Krishna says, everything in this creation, it's me. It's only me. Matta paridharam na anyat. Nothing else exists. Kinjidasti dhananjaya. Not even a little bit, he says, exists in this creation, except me. Mai sarvam idam pravadam. Sutre manigana iva. I am present in everything in this creation, just like a thread is going through all the pearls in the garland, as it is present, in the same way. By saying that, Krishna is saying to us that it's me who existing everything. If you take me out of this, nothing exists. That's first statement. Secondly, after that, Krishna, from now on, he's going to take individual things in this world and telling us how we should see Krishna in these individual things. Each and everything, what Krishna is going to talk about from now. So that's how he's saying, Rasoham apsu kaundheya prabhasmi shashi suryayoho pranava sabavedeshu shabdhage paurusham narshu. Four things there. First thing, water. Rasoham apsu kaundheya. Arjuna, in water I am the taste. If you want to see me in the taste of water is me, he says. Prabhasmi shashi suryayoho. If you see the sun and the moon, you see me there in the form of the light that's coming from the sun and the moon. That's me. That effulgence coming from sun and the moon, that's me. Because of my presence only, the sun has the light. Because of my presence only, the moon is giving the light. The moon reflection or whatever we call it. The reflective nature of the moon. Because that's what scientists are saying, isn't it? That the sun rays are falling on the moon and it's reflected and I don't know. Anyway, so the important point is the light that comes from the moon, it's because of Krishna's presence there. The light comes from the sun, Krishna's presence there. Two things. Then, pranava sarvavedeshu. Pranavam Om is the whole Vedams are based on pranavam. Every mantram begins with pranavam, isn't it? Om. So that Om, Krishna says, that is me. That's me. Without Om, you can't chant a mantram properly. No mantram is chanted without Om. Pranavam is beginning. And Gayatri also with Om, isn't it? Pranava sarva vedeshu. Shabdhakhe paurusham rishu. Come means sky. And the ability in a person, I'll discuss that later. What is this ability? We are always asking this question. A lot of people ask this question. Ability in a person is me, Krishna is saying. Paurusham narshu. Shabdhakhe paurusham narshu. Paurusham. Paurusham means ability in a man. That's how it's translated in the Bhagavad Gita. We'll come to that later. So, here, let us begin with this. Arjuna, rasaham rasaha aham. Rasam is me, he says. Rasam. What is this rasam? Rasam means, so you can call rasam in different ways. To specifically explain rasam, there are rasam, for example, when you enjoy some nice tasty food, you say it's rasam is good. The taste is good. That's rasam. Isn't it? Suppose you had a nice feast and some of the things you enjoy very much and you say, oh, it was a rasam. The rasa was good. In music, there is rasam, isn't it? When you enjoy a nice kirtanam or music, you feel some great rasam, enjoyment there. That is rasam. That is rasam. And rasam is classified in different ways. Shringaram, bivalsam, all kinds of rasams are talked about in the drama, science of drama. They talk about different rasam. Bhakti has rasam, isn't it? Which kind, five kinds of rasam we talk about in the bhakti process, like Shanda rasam, Sakhya rasam, Valsalya rasam, Dasi rasam, Madhurya rasam, all these rasas, they are also rasam. So what is that rasam? Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam. That means the Shandam is the friendly way. No, not friendly, what's that? Neutral, neutral, yes. Neutral stage. Dasyam, servitude. Shandanda, Sakhyam, friendship. Vatsalyam, parental. And Madhuryam, conjugal. They are all rasas, isn't it? So, rasam is Krishna. Rasam is Krishna. If Krishna is not there, you can't have rasam. Therefore, in Yajurvedam, the statement is, rasovai saha. Rasam is Krishna. Rasam is Krishna. It is a very interesting understanding. We don't know. We think that the tongue is tasting. That's what our understanding is, isn't it? But why should that, when the tongue is tasting some food, why do I feel a happiness inside? That is rasam. That's coming from Krishna. Particular food, when it comes tasted, you feel experience, that taste, and you enjoy that. Similarly, all relationships also. Parents feel relationship with the children, they have rasam in there. In that parental relationship, isn't it? Like Bhagavatam says, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi was feeling parental relationship with Krishna. And they were enjoying that, did they not? In the Bhagavatam, you know that so many chapters talking about Krishna was giving pleasure to them. That pleasure, what Krishna was giving to them, was the rasam they were enjoying. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda was enjoying that rasa in Krishna's association. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj's relationship with Narasimha, that service dasyam from that Prahlada's rasam. Prahlada was getting a tremendous pleasure in his service to Narasimha Murti, Narasimha. So, these things, the happiness or the rasa what one enjoy comes from Krishna. Similarly, Krishna is saying here, when you drink water, you feel a taste for the water. Of course, you have to understand also this, Krishna is referring to proper water, not chlorinated and acidified water with all other things. And normally, we don't have much taste for the water. That is because we have eaten various things and the tongue is not able to taste the water anymore. People are addicted to drinking a lot of fruit juice, sugar juice or sugared milk or sweets. For them, water won't be much of an attraction. They want more sugar to pump it up inside to get that taste. So, but normally when you are very thirsty in the hot weather, if you just get some water, if you drink, you will feel a great satisfaction from inside. That taste of water is a great rasa at that time, isn't it? So, now what they do is that in order to feel the taste of water, sometimes they have certain fruits, if you eat that and then you drink water, you'll feel a taste for it. Amalagam fruit. Amalaga is like that, one of them. So, So, rasoham apsu kaundeya. Krishna is saying, the taste what you experience in the water, that's me. That's all Krishna is going to tell us. That if you understand that, he says, Arjuna, that rasam, that dahaye saraha sarasa, the taste, I am present there, that the taste you are knowing because of the presence of water, what in the presence of water. What present actually it is there is the tanmatra of water. Tanmatra. You remember this tanmatra? Tanmatra means gross material elements are there. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. What is present in us is the tanmatra. Tanmatra. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandha. The tanmatra. Tanmatra means the subtle form of that. That is the tanmatra. Pancha tanmatra they are called. So tanmatra is present in us. And due to the presence of tanmatra, we are experiencing the rasam. Experience of the rasam. Otherwise, we won't experience the taste. So that taste is the nature of the water. And rasam is Krishna's form. Rasam is coming from Krishna. And the water's nature is that taste what we are. So the taste of the water is experienced through the rasam, through Krishna's presence in us. So, Every rasam or every taste is coming from Krishna. Every taste is coming from Krishna. That is why it is said rasovai saha. All rasam is saha. Krishna is that. So now the water, if you look at the water, what do you call that as the sulfidity of the water? Or that waterness in there, isn't it? Water has a certain quality in there, isn't it? Water is not solid, it's liquid, isn't it? So it has a certain waterness, or I don't know, it's the right word, that nature of the water being like that, and it flows from higher level to lower level, that's on a scientific level. But the water quality of the water in that way is the nature of that water, and because of this, when we wake up in the morning, first thing, properly bathing, first what they do in the olden times, that they'll take a handful of water in the hand. You must have seen this in photographs at least. People standing in the Ganga River and they take water in the hand. Why do they take water in the hand? The reason for that is that first recognizing, respecting the water, because Krishna is present in the water. Krishna is present in the water. That is Krishna's form. And therefore, what do? There is a mantram in the Vedas called Akamarshanam. This Akamarshanam mantram is chanted before using the water for bathing. Akamarshana yantram. Very common. It used to be like that. It was not an unusual thing. In the past means, even about, you could say 50 years ago, when the tanks and lakes were, rivers were all with water. Now it's all going. The people who had that tradition, when they go into the river or to the tank, temple tank to bathe, first they will take the water in the hand and chant the Akamarshana yantram. After that they will bathe. Akamarshana yantram is addressed toward Varuna. Varuna is Krishna's representative in the water. So there it is, this water is, Varuna is the personified form of the water. Personified form of water is Varuna. So respecting Varuna before taking the water, I am, please purify me. This is the prayer. Akamarshana yantram is saying, mantram is saying to Varuna that in this water, Krishna is present in the form of Varuna, you please purify me. And you asking the, with that prayer, you start bathing. You start bathing. So that was the system. So, Hiranyashringam Varanam Prabhadye. The Akamarshana mantram finishes like that. If you Google, you will find all these things in the Akamarshana mantram is mentioned there. That Hiranyashringam Varanam Prabhadye, that offering obeisances to Varuna and getting that mercy of Varuna before bathing, so that you purify, please purify me. So let this water purify me. Why? Because water is Krishna's another form. Krishna's another form. Saying that, you start bathing, recognizing that, acknowledging that you have to bathe. So Krishna is saying the science behind it. That in water, you will see that in water, Krishna is lying down, isn't it? Vishnu is lying in the water. Karana Jalam, it's called. Karanarnav Shai, isn't it? Karanarnav Shai Vishnu. So in the water, Krishna lies down, and that is in Krishna's one form. Krishna's one form is that water. Water is one form. You can see this in the Ganga River particularly. It's a well-known thing. That many people have started in the recent times, last 10, 15 years particularly, that Ganga is getting very polluted. So there are a lot of people, environmentally friendly people, who wants to make Ganga, to bring it back into its pure form, because otherwise it went to such a stage that everybody started pushing all the bad things into the river, and they polluted Ganga to such an extent. People started feeling that it is not right thing to do. So many people are working for that, but still many industries and many factories are pumping all their waste into the Ganga River. One thing. Addition, but before Ganga River gets polluted like that, prior to Haridwar, from Gangotri it started, if you look at the water in Ganga River, how pure the water is still. before the factories all, once it gets to Haridwar and from then the factory starts their work, by the time it gets to Delhi, it's over. It loses all its purity. And then by the time it goes through the whole Uttar Pradesh and all that, it gets very much polluted in that way. So what Krishna is saying here is that many people now in the present times, they've started seeing that there is something very special about Ganga. They've started taking research about this. Many people have done research on that. And they started seeing something very interesting. What is that? For example, in Kumbh Mela and all that, people go there. And when they go back, they take Ganga water with them. And often when they collect this water in bottles and plastic cans and all, it's highly muddy and very much impure, it looks. They take it home because when they take it home and somebody is dying or fearing death at the time, they may not know when they'll come back again to collect water. So they'll keep water at home, Ganga water at home, to give it to people who leave their body. So they have noticed, by the time they collected water from, say, Haridwar, and travel brought back to Delhi, by the time the water has become pure again. Whereas all the dirt has gone. This is an amazing thing many people have noticed, and that has made them to think that Ganga River water is not simply a water that is what we consider as the hydrogen and oxygen. It's nothing, something more than that. So, again, no matter how much dirt and filth has fallen into that water, still it gets purified from inside the bottle. And it looks very clear, like a crystal clear water you see in the bottle again. So many people you can see this, their own personal experience this is. So what they are saying is, the scientists are saying, those who have conducted research on that, they are saying that there is something emanating from the water. This is a scientific explanation to that. Something emanating from the water which is purifying this in this way. So, this Krishna is saying here that Ganga, Yamuna and all that, one should have that same honor to water wherever we see, because Krishna is present in all the water. Sarvam Vari Ganga Vari, that means Vari means water. All the water is Ganga water. That's the way we have to look at the water. This is a difficult thing, isn't it? In the modern world, we have become, as I was saying before, this is Sushvam. We won't understand this. We will simply think water. And that's why it's sometimes difficult that modern toilets, we pass to use the toilet into the water. And from a spiritual point of view, it's not a right thing. But that's also toilet available today. Because we have understanding of water is different, isn't it? When those people, many last few generations before, they won't use this kind of toilets. For this reason only. That they felt that they are disrespecting the water. Disrespecting the water in the toilet. Anyway, we have no choice. So, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, in all the water, I am present there. Essentially, I am present there. And then he says, Prapasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. So, water, if we acknowledge, Krishna says, the taste of the water is me. If the taste of the water is me, it is very difficult to reject the water in the toilet or anywhere. Isn't it? Krishna is present there. And our gross life, this is how we have become gross, by doing all these things only. That we have become grosser and grosser. We lost that fineness of life. We can't go back to it anymore because we become so gross now. Somebody has to tell us why it is so gross. That material elements in its pure form is Krishna's present there. Isn't it? All tanmatras, if you take earth, water, air, ether, fire. The earth in the few generations before, when they woke up, first thing, they paid their respects to the earth first. They fell down and paid their obeisances to earth. Why? The understanding was, Padav Sparshav Kshamasva. I'm going to put my feet on top of you. Please forgive me for that. That respect for the land. Respect for the water. Respect for the environment. There was no environmental meeting or anything like that. It was naturally existed in people's mind. They felt that need to respect water, respect the earth and everything in this creation. There you don't, then you don't require any more environmental committees and Green Party and all that to save the environment. All these things didn't exist. This is, you are fighting against your own grossness basically. That's what this, all this is, isn't it? We are so gross that we have to fight against our own grossness in this form. Anyway, Krishna is saying here, Pranava Sarva Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. That is the second one, isn't it? Moon, the sun, the light is me. Why does he say like that? He says, when you wake up in the morning, when you see the sun, look at me. I am there in that sun. These things won't happen otherwise. Why Krishna individually points out these things? Because these are things which are practical, possible to look at. When you look at, when you get up in the morning, look at me, he says, I have come. Sun is telling us, I have come, Krishna has come. He is there in the 12th canto, it will see Surya Narayana, he is addressed as. Krishna is present there as Surya Narayana, he is travelling in the chariot. So I have come. If you can't see the sun, on other days, when the moon is away, moon is in the sky, look at me, Krishna says. I am present there in the moon as well. Prabhasmi Shashi Surya Yoho. Who looks at the sun? Who looks at the moon in this world? Who has time to look at the sun? Who has time to look at the moon? That's the style of life we have today, is it not? We are so busy that there is no time to look at the sun, there is no time to look at the moon. Sun comes, sun goes, moon comes, moon goes. Who cares whether it comes or goes? This is our nature now. Because we have become so gross within ourselves, in the past, that was, these things were not looked like this. People, many few generations before, it wasn't like that. That for them, they look our lifestyle today very odd to the way we live today in this modern world. And we claim ourselves very advanced and very, some false understanding in our head that we are very advanced and very modern society. And we will always say, in this day and age, we can't accept this and all kind of things. But whatever it is, practically you can see that all subtlety we lost in that process. The subtle side of the things. So Krishna says here that when the light comes from the sun, when the light comes from the moon, it is Krishna. Recognize that first. Then Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Krishna is saying that in Vedam, Pranavam. Pranavam means Om. Om is the essence of all the Vedam. Why Om is the essence of Vedam? If you remember, we talked in the 12th chapter of the 11th canto, what is known as Spodham. Remember that word, Spodham? Spodham means that when the sound begins, Jiva's birth we talked about, Sai Esha Jivo Vivara Prasudhi, from the Yoga Margam, how it is discussed is, that whenever we speak something, it comes what is known as Vaikari. Vaikari is the sound what we make when we speak. It's called Vaikari. Vaikari begins from what? Para sound. Para. Para is the beginning. Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari. In four stages, sound comes out. In its pure form, it's para. In its pure form, is para. Para is called Paranadam. Paranadam is the sound that is present in the creation. It's always there. We can't connect with that. We don't have that knowledge or realization of that. But what we have got today, the presence of the sound in us is, from para it comes Pashyandi, it comes to the mind, Madhyama, and then it Vaikari. By the time it comes through the navel, and then it comes to this heart process, at that point it mixes with our vasanas and the thoughts, and it comes out in the gross form, most gross form, in the form of Vaikari. It comes out from inside, isn't it? So para Pashyandi Madhyama Vaikari. This para thing is Paranadam, which Krishna addresses as Shabda Brahmam, present in the Shabda Brahmam. Why sound is given so much importance in the Vedam? Vedam is all based on sound. Sound is the whole Brahm. The whole principle of Vedam is based on the sound. All the Vedic hymns. Even today, there are very specialized people who know how to chant the Vedam properly. They are there. And they have practiced his whole life. And if you go into internet and look at it, Samaveda, if you look, you will see there, How to control the sound, what they have to do to get the right sound from inside. The person who is teaching, a young child, 8 or 10 years, there's a photograph there, he's holding his head and twisting the neck in this way and that way to get the right sound out from inside. If you look at that, it will look very cruel to you. Why is he doing all these things to him, a young child like this? But that was the system. That the movement inside, so that when the sound comes out, it must be correct. It must be correct. And the person who hears, who knows it, he knows that what when the sound comes out, he'll know. If it's not the right sound that has come out, that photo and the explanation, everything is there in the internet. If you want to look at it, you can see. If you Google Somayagam, and you, there's a loads of what they call postings, or what they call it, yeah, postings on the internet, you can read there that how they have protected that to protect the value of the sound in there. In there. So this pranavam sarva vedeshu shabdhage paurusham nushu. Krishna is saying that pranavam is the key, the chavi, or what they call it, the key, isn't it? Key to that sound technology. If we want to get, if this technology is there, Shabda Brahman. In the sixth kind of Bhagavatam, Chitragedu went to spiritual world. You know that story, don't you? That Chitragedu was a king. He had to, he got into serious trouble. Serious trouble means he had no children. Angiras and Srinarada Maharshi came there. And Chitragedu said, I don't have a son. Angiras and Narada Maharshi told him, why you want a son? Why do you want trouble in this life? So at that time, Chitragedu says to them that this is all what I want. I don't want to hear any of your philosophy and all that. He says, Angiras says to Narada Maharshi, there is no point in preaching to this man. He's not going to take the book. So we will not sell the book to him. We will give him what he wants. Like sometimes people give you the cash, you please go. Don't want the book, take the money and go. Practically in the same mood. So Angiras says to him, I'll give you what you want. Will you please go? That was the moody sense of Chitragedu. He took the blessing from Angiras, got the son. Kritadyuti had a child. Out of the many wives, he had this one wife, Kritadyuti, and he had a son from him. After some time, the other wives got upset and killed this child. That story is there in the Bhagavatam, you can read that. So the child died. And Chitragedu was in the greatest distress, which has never happened to him before. Eventually, he is lamenting why this has happened to me. Same time, Narada Maharshi and Angiras understood. Now if we talk to him, he will understand what I am saying. Earlier, he won't understand. He is in his own, what do they call it, in his own maya, he was there. So now he will understand. So quietly, Angiras hold on to Narada Maharshi's hand and they come together to talk to him. Because this is what I'm saying, when distress happens, it's good. It's not always bad. When distress comes in life, you should welcome wholeheartedly. At least some introspection will happen. Otherwise, who thinks about, who wants Krishna consciousness? Who wants to go to spiritual world? This is all just talk only. Just talk. That's all, nothing more than that. But distress hits you. Whether it's Chitragedu, whether it's somebody else, doesn't matter. It will open up inside. The eye inside will open. Now the eye outside is open. But there is an eye inside which will open when distress comes. So Chitragedu was willing to listen. And Angiras told him, Narada Maharshi told him, I'll give you a mantra. Chant this mantra for 7 days, you'll be in the spiritual world. He gave the guarantee. Chitragedu, because you have to offer something better. So Chitragedu got attracted to it, chanted exactly what the way he was told for 7 days and nights, and he was in the spiritual world. He got there. When he got there, Krishna wasn't there. Krishna has gone somewhere. Balram was there. Balram welcomed him and told him, and Balram gave him the proper advice. Because you have to get instruction also from a guru properly, isn't it? So Narada Maharshi has given him this instruction, send him to spiritual world from here. He's gone. He got there. And from there, Balram gave this instruction. You'll read in the Bhagavatam, Shabda Brahma Param Brahma Mamabhe Shashwati Tanu. He says, I have two nature. In two forms, I am present in this creation. One is Shabdam, sound, and the other one is Parabrahmam. Parabrahmam, Shabda Brahmam. These two Brahmam, Brahmam's two side of Brahmam is this. One is Shabda Brahmam, other one is Parabrahmam. Now, musicians, they follow the Shabda Brahmam route. They are called Nada Brahmam. Like all the great devotees who are devotees of Krishna, Ramachandra and all that, they worship Krishna through sound. And that sound, that's why their kirtanam, when they sing kirtanam, that kirtanam is pure. That is how originally sound has come to the musical level. That's called Nada Brahmam. So we have Nada Brahmam, we have Shabda Brahmam, we have Parabrahmam. So Balaram is saying to Chitraketu, Shabda Brahma, Param Brahma, Mamo Bheshashwati Tanu. My two eternal aspects of Brahmam is, one is Shabda Brahmam and one is Parabrahmam. And that Shabda Brahmam, if you want to enter into that, the key for that is Om, Pranava. That is why Krishna is saying here, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. Of course, Chitraketu got all this, that's nice. But what happened to Chitraketu, you know that history after that. Vasanas have not gone away from inside. Narada Maharshi, out of his compassion, told him, you can go to spiritual world, I'll let you go there. But Vasanas have not left him. So what happened? He became the Vidyadharam and he started with the other, they also gave him a group of singers along with him. Together they were glorifying, dancing, singing and all. And when they got to Kailasam, they saw Lord Shiva sitting there. Shivarudhi sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. And he started saying to everybody else who was with him, what is this going on here? He says, looking at Lord Shiva, he says to them, what is this going on here? I thought Lord Shiva is a somewhat respectable personality, but the way he is behaving, he is behaving like a very pragradam way, in a very uncivilized way. Why is he behaving like this? And there are some comments he made. Why? The vasanas have not left him still. He's still there. So that's when Sri Parvati cursed him, go and become a demon and stay in Asura's body for a while, and he became Vritrasura. That story is the sixth kind of. So why I was saying this was, Shabda Brahmam, Parabrahmam, two things is Krishna's two different Brahmam realization is in this world. Shabda Brahmam. And opening up that key is Krishna says that Pranavam. Pranavam is the spodam. Spodam, dhvani, these things are important. Spodam means that when it is in that para stage, when it is coming from that, there is a spodam there. It's a spodam there. That is difficult how to explain that. It is mentioned like that in the sound and in the Bhagavadam also. Spodam, that's the word that is used there. But when it when it is in its very finer state, extremely subtle state, in other words, when it has become very gross and gross and gross, it has become eventually Vaikari. It has come out, isn't it? Come out in the form of Vaikari. Vaikari, by the time it became Vaikari, spodam is all lost from that. But when it is in the, that is why while chanting the Vedic hymns, they are very, very particular that Vedas are not, cannot be chanted by reading the books. It's never understood like that. That you don't chant the Vedas looking at the book. You don't chant a mantra looking at the book. These are all wrong things. But in the modern world, nobody understands these things. So you will see all our brahmanas in the marriages, they do bring the book and they start reading the mantra from the book. It's a joke. It's the greatest joke. But because the audience is also satisfied with that, they don't have any problem with that. They just want some mantra you chant. Any mantra you chant, it's okay. As soon as I get my marriage finished and feast is over, I go home. Finished. That's how much he knows about it. So this is what goes on. So our brahmanas have come to that level now that they would look at the mantra, to chant the mantra, they would look at the book. Anyway, so this, all I'm saying this is not to criticize anyone. I'm saying that how much things have gone in the another direction, and we think that everything is fine. Everything is not fine. Everything has got a lot of problems there. So Krishna is saying to us that this pranavam, even chanting Om, it requires a lot of training to properly chant Om. properly. And that's all controlled and adjusted very much. And so much training for young boys given from the age of 4 or 5, right up to 25, before he has repeatedly doing this day after day, morning, evening, hours and hours together to get it right. To get it right. Only after that they will be allowed to perform any sacrifice. Somayagam and all that requires people, otherwise the results won't be there. Because Somayagam and all, if you perform, the person who has had that sankalpam and the results will be given by the yagam for years. Of course it costs a lot of money. It requires people with that expertise in that. So, but the whole principle behind it is shabdam. Sound is the principle. So that person, and in order to stay in that, stay tuned in that way, they have to have the restriction on the diet, their consciousness, and even their family life is restricted, very much restricted, how they associate with the family members, and not allow any powerful emotions to step in their mind, so that it will disturb the power of the mantra. So much they safeguard the and protect the mantra themselves, and they are given special titles for that. Because they live a life for the society in that way, they are given a special titles for very lengthy titles are given to them, and they, because they protect the Vedas, they are the people who protect the Vedas. These people who chant the Vedic hymns and regularly practice it, and becomes that they do it correctly in their life. They won't study from the books. They don't have any books. Those people, they hear and they chant. Because if you don't, if you do from the book, it will all be something different. Whereas if you hear and if you chant again, then the person from whom you have heard, he will correct you. That's the system. That's the system. So anyway, here if we so much simply understand, I'm just saying the depth of the Vedas is something which you cannot even imagine to what a subtle level it's operating everything. The sound in the most finer and the subtle form is talked about. So, Shabdhage Paurusham Nrishu. Krishna is saying here, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. For all that. Shabdhage Paurusham Nrishu. Now, Shabdhage Paurusham Nrishu. Krishna is saying here that in among men, Paurusham of human species, the ability is me. Krishna says, ability is me. What is this ability? I think what we have said is the ability in a man. Some people say it's a willpower. Willpower. A lot of people have got ability in man. Ability in man. What does that mean? This is where Bhagavad Gita is very subtle in all these things. Ability means in spiritual life, your commitment in spiritual life. That is ability. Not the ability to build bridges or flying rockets. That is not considered ability. Only what Krishna says here, that your ability is, Krishna is saying here, when you have an intense desire to perform sadhana in spiritual life, Ichha Shakti it's called. Intense desire inside. That I have to realize the self and I'm willing to sacrifice my life for that. For Adhyalpa Sadhana, spiritual sadhana, that intense commitment and intense enthusiasm or whatever we call it, the seriousness inside for advancing in spiritual path, Krishna says that is ability in a person. That is, Krishna calls it as ability, nothing else. All other things are not considered. For example, somebody has got management ability. Some people can manage big industries and factories and all that. That is managerial ability, isn't it? And some people have ability in conducting research work. That's another kind of ability. And different people have different abilities. But that is not what Krishna calls it as the Paurusham. The word Paurusham holds only one thing. According to Krishna is concerned, that by which power, by that power by which you control your senses, mind, everything, and you have managed to push your mind inward looking, that spiritual force, Krishna calls it as ability. You understand what I'm saying? that controlling the mind, controlling the senses, driving our attention from the world outside and forcing the mind to go inwards looking for the truth, to realize the self, in other words, Krishna calls that as Paurusham. The word Paurusham means that. Nothing else. Nothing else. So here he says, that spiritual power, Krishna says, that's me. That Paurusham or that spiritual power in a person to come to this conclusion that I should realize the truth in this very life before this body drops away, that requires a lot of strength inside, isn't it? Lot of strength inside. Only then that strength will come. Krishna says, when someone has that strength, that's me. That is the ability in a person Krishna is referring to. So here you will see here that ability's definition is that that he says here, rasoham abam yasaram sarasaha. Then water, the rasam is the rasam of the water is the what Krishna I am. Tasmin rasabhude mai apa prada ityartha. In that way I am present in the water, in the form of taste. I am present in the water. Pranavam omkaram sarva vedeshu tasma pranava bhude mai sarve veda prodaha. Because pranavam or omkaram, omkaram is om, is sarva vedeshu. It's in all Vedas, in the beginning of all the Vedic hymns. And because pranavam is the key, tasmin pranava bhude mai sarve veda prodaha. Through pranavam, I am present in all the Vedas. Through pranavam, I am present in the all the Vedas. If you, pranavam is a very powerful thing. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, that chapter, Akshara Brahma Yogam, I think it is the 8th chapter, isn't it? 8th, isn't it? Akshara Brahma Yogam. I don't know what it is titled in our Bhagavad Gita, but it is centered around pranavam. It's centered around om, isn't it? Attaining the Supreme. That is the English title. But precisely the title is Akshara Brahma Yogam. Akshara Brahma. Aksharam is this om. Om, the Brahmam in the form of om, that is the original Sanskrit word used in the original Bhagavad Gita. It's like that. So, so Omkara Upasana, it's called. Through om, how you worship Krishna. It's a whole process associated with that. That's why one whole chapter Krishna has kept in the Bhagavad Gita to talk about om in that chapter. Anyway, our interest here is that pranavam omkaram sarva vedeshu tasmin pranave sarva bhude pranabhude mai sarve veda pradha. That Vedam only talks about this pranavam, and pranavam is me, Krishna is saying there. Then tatha ke agashe shabda sarabhudaha tasmin mai kham pradham. Shabdam, sound, is present in the sky. It's a tanmatra of the sky, isn't it? And that's me. In creation process, which is the first material element came? Sky. Sky is the first material element. It is in the sky all other things comes, isn't it? From sky others have come down. From sky came the air. From the air came the fire. Fire came the water. Water came the earth. That is the sequence in which the creation happens. So originally, when they go back at the end of creation, at the end of creation, they'll dissolve one in behind the other. That means water will, earth will dissolve into water. Water will dissolve into fire. Fire will dissolve into air. Air will dissolve into sky. Sky will dissolve into Mahatattva. That's why the reverse process, when the devastation happens at the end. So there you can see, as soon as material elements came about, first thing is sky. And the tanmatra or the subtle element of that sky is the sound. And the sound is born from om. Om is the... So therefore Krishna is saying here, tadha ke agashe shabda sara bhudaha tasmin maikham pratham. He says, therefore I am that sound. I am that sound. Tadha paurusham purushasya bhava paurusham yada pum buddhir nrushu tasmin mai purusha prada. That is the definition of paurusham. Paurusham means, tadha paurusham purushasya bhava paurusham yataha. Purushasya bhavam. What is a purushasya bhavam? Yatha pum buddhir nrushu. Pum buddhi means that we have this ego inside, isn't it? Ahangaram inside. Throwing away this ahangaram and realizing our genuine, pure identity as we are, spirit soul, once ahangaram is the jiva buddham. Jiva is ahangaram. The soul is the jiva nature is ahangaram, false. Because of false ego, we have become jiva. The jiva nature has come to us. So through bhakti process, when that hangaram completely leaves us, false ego leaves us, we lose that jiva quality, which is mixed with the hangaram, false ego. And Krishna is saying here, tasmin purushasya bhava paurusham yada pum buddhir nushu tasmin mayi purusha pravataha. That he will come to that state where he will realize that I am by nature, my pure nature is freedom from false ego. In other words, self-realization happens to him at that person. So, aham eva jagal karanam ityartha pranava bhude mayi sarve vedaha pravataha. Pranava swarupam. Vedam is based on pranavam. Vedam stands in the Vedam, all the Vedam, Rigvedam, Yajurvedam, Samavedam, Atharvana Vedam, all the Vedam are standing on the strength of this pranavam, on the strength of pranavam om. So, in other words, Shabda Brahma. Shabdage Paurusham Nrushu. Purushasya Bhava Paurusham. That means this willpower in us for executing sadhana, adhyatma sadhana, and that desire inside, that is Krishna's presence in us. Something worthwhile thinking about, that whenever we feel a desire to execute spiritual life, means to chant the holy name, to study Srimad Bhagavatam, to go for satsangam, to engage in deity worship, feeling some necessity inside, not doing it as a duty in that sense, but feeling the necessity to do that, some stimulation from inside to engage in that, Ichha Shakti it's called, the powerful force inside driving us to do that, and taking our attention, because when you are doing these things, all the sadhana, what is expected is that our attention in the world has to go. That's why it is, isn't it? Sadhana is for taking our attention away from the world outside. The world by nature, what is it? The mind goes through the senses and enjoys the world. That's what our life is, daily life. Mind, through all the different holes in the body and or the senses, goes to the world outside and enjoys the world. That's our life. But when the mind stops that process of enjoying the world outside through the senses and go inward looking to realize the truth, that means spiritual life is properly happening. And that requires some force in us to drive it in that direction. To give up sense gratification, desire for sense enjoyment, and to engage in spiritual activity, sadhana. In other words, Krishna is saying there that force, what is driving you inwards, that force is Krishna. That is that paurusham he is talking about. Krishna is talking about nothing else. So most of the people do not take it that way. They are thinking that if somebody is very capable, they think that's Krishna. That is Krishna. But we have to understand here in this particular knowledge of the absolute chapter, when Krishna is talking about ability. Later on, Vibhuti, when he talks, Krishna will say that wherever you see something, what did he say? Yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam tejam urjidam evava tatta devava gacchattvam mama tejamsha sambhavam. There is a verse later where Krishna is saying, wherever you see something great, you should see that it is my presence there. That is in the vibhuti chapter, he says in a different way. There it is spoken as a vibhuti. Here Krishna is saying that when you are talking about this knowledge of the absolute, jnana vijnana yogam, if you are seeing the taste of water, if you see me there, that means your knowledge is vijnanam. Jnanam has become vijnanam there. If you have experienced, when you drank water, water's taste, if you have experienced it, that means you are having vijnanam, realization of Krishna. Similarly, in Om, chanting Om, if you have experienced Shabda Brahmam there, that means your Vijnanam has come. Pranava Sarva Vedeshu, Shabdhage Paurusham Rishu. And Krishna is saying here that ability in a person, that, so the essence is like this, that this is, it's not that this alone is Krishna, this alone is Krishna. Essentially what Krishna is saying here is that if you keep on breaking up anything, inside that Krishna is present. How to see that? And seeing Krishna is there, that is this process, what Krishna is talking about here. So in other words, whenever you see something, inside of all that, the examples are given like this. Take for example onions. Onions, if you take a big onion and you start peeling it off, keep on peeling, and at the end there's nothing inside. If you go into very inside, there'll be very small part of that onion, which again you can peel. But ultimately you peel off everything, there is nothing left. Isn't it? Krishna's point is similarly, if you keep on peeling everything and you become sushmam and sushmam and sushmam, more subtle and subtle, you will see there at the end there is Krishna inside. There is Krishna's presence inside. And in order to experience that, a practice is this chapter. A practice for that is this chapter of Jnana Yoga, of experiencing Krishna in everything in this world. And Krishna has picked certain examples to show us how to experience that. Ultimately, Krishna is saying, Matta Paradaram Nanyan Kinjidasti Dananya. Except me, there is nothing in this world. That Krishna has already said. But after, through these examples, Krishna is telling us that it's only me who exists here. And this is how you conduct this research of seeing me in everything. Of seeing me in everything. So, if we do that, naturally, in course of time, he says, in everything you will see me. One way or the other, you will see my presence. And if you see me like this, only then you can see Krishna everywhere. But, Krishna is saying, prior to that happening, you have to see me inside yourself. After that, only all the other things. You remember self-realization? Seeing Krishna in all other living entities is a very high realization. But before that happens, we have to see Krishna's presence within us. When we have seen that, it is the next step after that. So that we'll discuss next Wednesday. Yeah. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.